Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
If we're worried about SARS, you're saying, well, possibly look down the road and things could be a whole lot worse.
I don't mean to be alarmist, but SARS is a horrible thing. In the grand scheme, it isn't that bad. It has a relatively low death rate. It's not easily transmissible. You have to be in direct contact with respiratory fluids, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other bad things in the world, and not the least of which is the flu virus.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past century, we've had three relatively large pandemics, the biggest of which was the 1913 flu pandemic of the Spanish flu,
right,
which pretty much stopped World War I. It was that bad. And we've been on the lookout for another flu pandemic for many years, and epidemiologists are fond of pointing out that we expect one in the next 5 to 10 years. In fact, Canada has a relatively large, comprehensive influenza pandemic response plan in preparation for that day. So one could look at the SARS thing as kind of like a dry run for a really big infectious pandemic like the flu.
So this, had SARS been an airborne disease, we would have been in big trouble.
Yeah, that's true for a lot of things, actually. If AIDS had been airborne, we'd be in
right.
trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So some other thing down... So then looking at that, saying, you know, worrying about a pandemic or being concerned that there may be one, do you think our system will handle it, or will we end up with the kinds of deaths, maybe not of the magnitude of 1913, but certainly very high?
Yeah, it's a good question. I like to look at the U.S. Bioterrorism Response Plan as a model. They've really gotten into their heads that, you know, anthrax and smallpox will be dropped from the air and mm-hmm. an airplane at some point. They've gone a little nuts in their preparation, which is not necessarily a bad thing. So they're coordinating their military with their hospitals and with their law enforcement plans to really contain something infectious in a quick manner. Canada, on the other hand, our influenza pandemic response plan has more to do with making sure the vaccines are transported instantaneously and there are lots of them in stock, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have a plan for multiple site outbreaks of a non-treatable disease like SARS, and that's a little concerning. I think one of the advantages of having a single site outbreak like SARS in Toronto is that we could potentially draw resources from other parts of the country to help combat it in Toronto. But if it really was a pandemic, that is, it occurred all over the world simultaneously, Toronto would have to rely on its own innate resources
mm-hmm.
for an extended period of time. And right now, those resources, as you probably know, are being stressed to the limit. So
yes.
It is concerning.
So obviously a national strategy is a must.
A national strategy, not just for SARS
mm-hmm.
and for the flu, but
right.
for any kind of unforeseeable infectious outbreak.
Now, I don't know if you can answer this question about SARS. Why Toronto? Why are other cities in North America not having the same problem?
Well, this isn't based on any sort of data.
Yeah.
A feeling I have, having been in Toronto, lived in Toronto, and grown up in Toronto, it has a very strong international feel, a strong connection with parts of the world, especially Asia. And so,
you look at Vancouver.
True. I can't answer that. Sorry.
Okay, you know
that was my stock response.
That's fine. But everybody, that's the question we are all asking around
why
here.
Why us?
Why is Toronto the chosen city? Because, and I wonder if some of it might have to do with timing, in that the person who came from China to Vancouver who was sick on the plane went directly to hospital. So they may have contained it there, whereas in Toronto, a woman went home, became ill, was in contact with a whole lot of people, and then went to hospital, and, you know, maybe that's the difference.
But this latest outbreak is not travel-related.
No, it's not. So
yeah, it's a bit concerning.
It is. But you say that there are worse things out there. You talked about vaccine, too, and a vaccine may be developed for SARS, but how many people will take it?
Good question. There's a problem in all communities around the world of people being vaccine unfriendly.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got the numbers in front of me right now, but a very low percentage of people choose to get the flu vaccine every year, which is amazing considering the flu vaccine works.
Yes, I know, but they say it's the things that are in it, you know, the things that hold it all together. They don't want it. They don't want to put foreign things in their body. They'd rather take a chance, you know, the litany of reasons.
Right, yeah, but, you know, there's trade-offs. There's that risk against the risk of getting a potentially fatal disease.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what we would have to look forward to, I guess, with SARS, is the discussion, as we've had with flu vaccines, about, well, are you going to take a chance or are you actually going to do it?
Right. The advantage of SARS, though, is that it's in the public consciousness. People are afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
The flu has become rather banal in many people's minds.
Yeah,
very
not
true.
The killer that we think that we know it to be.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir.
Bye.